Last few lessons, we have been dealing with the characteristics of Jesus and looking at scriptures that deal with Him. We're not going to be doing that today. We're going to take a break from that, and we're going to come back to that eventually. We're going to step away from that this morning. I'm working on the study material. Several of you have asked about that, wanting that in written form. I'm going to get around to that. You know what a round to it is, don't you? You know, you've asked about that. I'm going to get to it. I will. I promise you that. We're going to talk about something that's similar to that, that you can use in your devotional time. And the Bible talks about things that we direct and focus our minds and thoughts on. And that's things that we use in our devotional times, and things that we focus on and we think about regarding scriptures. You've probably heard the story that years ago during the Vietnam era, that some of the POWs in Vietnam, how they were in the POW camps, and in order to pass the time, in order to bolster their spirit while they were in those decadent conditions in the POW camps, they would get together and they would try to recall scripture. And these men, some of them were in these POW camps in these terrible conditions in 5, 6, 7, and 8 years. And they were trying to endure these terrible conditions. Rotten food that they were given that probably the rats wouldn't eat. They were in isolation at times. There was vermin and no light and total darkness, and they were eking out a bare existence just trying to endure and stay alive day after day. And as the men would get together in the small cells, they would try to recall and reconstruct scripture from their memory. Some of them, having not been in Bible classes or even read the Bible since they were a kid, and having been in Bible classes like some of you teach. And that's why some of those Bible classes are so very important toward those children. You never know what conditions that they might be in for years and years. And sometimes that the conditions that they're in, they may reach back to somewhere in the recesses of their minds, and they need those Bible verses so very badly. And those men were in those conditions, and they had nothing else in order to keep them going but what they could recall from those Bible verses. They were wearing rags, their bodies were dirty, and they had just, you know, conditions that we would think of as just terrible. I mean, what do? We go outside, we work in the yard a little bit, we get dirty and sweaty, and what do we want to do? We want to take a shower. And those guys, you think they got a shower? No way. But they were in those terrible conditions, and they would try to correct themselves on scriptures. One guy would remember a line here, another guy would remember another line, and they would correct themselves on the scriptures. And they stored these pieces of scripture in their mind, and they would recite them over and over till they could put together pieces of scripture that they could memorize in order to keep them going from day to day. And they would recite them. Recently, I told you a story about myself and how I was almost in a condition just almost as bad. How I went into that MRI machine. And it, you know, I've got claustrophobia real bad. So they put that cloth on my head, and I told myself the 23rd Psalm over and over. And I'm making a joke now, you know. But I recited the 23rd Psalm over and over while I was in that MRI machine just to make the time go by. And the same thing in your own devotional time. And certainly we're not in conditions like that. But if you're ever in a situation, you'd let your mind dwell on Scripture. Can you recite Scripture? And think about things that your mind goes on. Do you dwell on those things? In the Old Testament, I think God meant for that very thing to take place. He told His people, He says, this is Deuteronomy 6:5 and a few verses following. He says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. Now ask yourself, what do you carry around on your heart? But he goes on to say, you shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house. And you shall watch a lot of TV. No, it doesn't say that, does it? I just made that up. What does it say? You should talk about them when you're in your house. How much TV do we watch? I watch way too much. And I watch the stupidest shows. Sometimes I'll watch some stupid show that's on TV and I'll think, now what good did that do me? I didn't concentrate on Scripture. I didn't read anything of value. And I watch some goofy show and I'll think, now what good did that do me? What good did that do me? And I wasn't studying like I should. And I've still got things I'm thinking about. And what good do some of those shows on TV do us, and we watch them? But he says, you shall think and talk of them when you walk by the way. And I'm guilty of not walking by the way. I need to walk. Do I walk? No, I don't walk. That means you get a little exercise. Do I want to walk around the block? No. We need to walk around the block, don't we? We don't walk by the way. I joke around, and when people tell me you need to walk a little bit, I say, well, I've got vehicles of transportation for that. That just tells us we need to walk by the way. When you lie down, do you study? Do you think of things? Do you dwell on God's Word? And when you rise up, the point I was going to make, when you lie down, we've got TVs in the bedroom. Do you have a TV in your bedroom? I don't want a show of hands. I'll raise my hand. I have a TV. Okay, don't walk out. I have a TV in the bedroom. I'm joking. I have a TV in the bedroom. I do. Is that not terrible? And you know what? It's not working good. And you know what? Yesterday I said, I need to replace that. I did. I said I need to replace the TV in the bedroom. Is that not terrible? I'm incriminating myself. I need to replace that TV in the bedroom. No, I shouldn't. I should throw it in the trash. Y'all want that thing? It's terrible. All right. And look what God says. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand. They shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. God's saying, have those things in front of you always. Now, the Jews took that stuff literally. They put that stuff in front of them always, but a lot of times they didn't really believe it. All right, here we go. Meditate. Meditate on God's Word. Man's changing culture affects God's church often in adverse ways. We will look at one of those deleterious effects. Christians no longer meditate. Now, maybe you do. And maybe we do just a little bit. Sometimes we don't do very much. What is meditation? Why should I meditate? And how should we meditate on Scripture? What is meditation? What's meditation all about? Discernment. It's a perception and ability to judge well. Philippians 1, Paul wrote, and this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in real knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve the things that are excellent in order to be sincere and blameless until the day of Christ. He's talking about the ability to judge, understand, and to know. Biblical meditation is not the same thing as mystical Eastern practice. You see the guy sitting there meditating. I remember when I was in the military many years ago, we had some guys that would get into Eastern transcendental, I can't even say it, you know, the Eastern type meditation where they'd cross their legs and put their hands out and make this little humming noise, you know, and that seemed to be kind of a popular thing. And I was guilty of making fun, you know, of the way they'd be humming there. And I'd, every time I'd go by the guy, I'd go, you know, and I'd, you know, do this like stuff, you know. And I was not as respectful as I am now. Not that I would respect him now, but anyway, the point is, he would always do this weird stuff, you know, and he was always doing crazy Eastern stuff. And he said it helped him, I think, focus and things like that. But the thing is, a lot of times meditation gets a bad rap from things like that, from people doing that kind of stuff. That's not the kind of stuff we're talking about. Why should I meditate on Scripture? God says do it. God says do it. Now, we need to understand what he's talking about when he says meditate on Scripture. Joshua 1:8. He says, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night." Well, what's he talking about? Meditate. Think about it. Concentrate on it. So that. Now he's going to tell that so that means here's why you meditate on it. So that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it, for then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. That's good stuff. He says, here's why you meditate on it. Paul wrote to Timothy, and he says, think over what I say. This is meditation. Think over. Think about it. Think about it. For the Lord will give you understanding in everything. 1 Timothy 4:15, he wrote, he says, meditate. This is from the New King James Version. He says, meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them that your progress may be evident to all. You may have heard me use this illustration before, but there are scriptures that as you read them, you put them in your box. You know what I'm saying there? You read the scripture and you don't entirely understand what it's all about. And as you get older, you grow into them. When you were growing up, did your mother ever buy you stuff that was a little bit big, knowing that you would grow into it? Hopefully we don't still do that. Well, we kind of do as adults. You know, we buy stuff a little big. Hopefully we don't grow into it, but, you know, some of us are still growing. I need to stop growing. But the thing is, as when we're kids, you know, we kind of grow into stuff. Well, we kind of grow into Scripture, don't we? You realize as you get older and you get more of life experiences and you put it in your box and you're thinking about it, and, you know, sometimes when you're in your 20s, you know everything, don't you? Didn't some of y'all, when you're in your 20s, know everything? Or when you're in your teens, you thought your parents were just stupid and didn't know anything, and you got in your 20s and 30s and 40s, and you realized they weren't as dumb as you thought they were. You realize, hey, those people ain't as dumb as I thought they were. You realize, hey, they're smarter than I thought they were. And then what happens with Scripture also is you get older and you read that verse more and more, and what do? You meditate on that Scripture. You think about it and you read it. And this has happened in our Wednesday night class. I'll be studying that Scripture that I may have thought that I studied and meditated on it when I was younger and meditate on it more, and it goes from my box to aha. Now what's the difference? We grew into it by meditating on it, and we grew into that Scripture by considering and concentrating on it, and we grew into it, and all of a sudden, aha, so that's what that means. And now we realize by meditating on it, that's what it means. And we continue to grow into that Scripture, and we realize that that's what the Lord meant for us all along. We meditate on those things. Why? So that we grow into more of what the Lord meant for us. All right. Same thing, Philippians 4 and verse 8. Paul wrote to the church at Philippi and said, "Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable," you know this verse, "whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is a good report, if there's any excellence, if anything worthy of praise, dwell on those things. Think about those things." I will guarantee you, with all the political upheaval that's going on every day in the world around you, that is not what people focus on. But Christians are different. We are different. We don't think about all that trash that goes on every day, all that political upheaval and garbage that goes on. That is not what fills those people's minds. Now, as Christians, if that's what we let dwell in our minds, we don't become the kind of people that are continually causing that kind of ridiculous stuff in the world around us. And we achieve a life that is different, a life that makes a difference. The brethren at Colossae were told to actively focus their thinking on spiritual things. He says, "Set your mind on things above." Now, what does he mean, set your mind? How do you set your mind? It means your mind doesn't automatically go to those things. You have to take your thoughts and purposely focus your thoughts on those things. Your mind's not naturally going to go to those things. Your mind is naturally going to focus on the worldly things unless you purposely set your mind on those things. Whatever you fill your mind with is what your mind's going to go to unless you purposely set your mind and your thoughts on the things that you meditate on. You have got to purposely set your mind. And that's why Paul writes to the church at Colossae, set your mind on things above, not on things that are on the earth. For, and he's giving the reason now, "For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God." And he says that's the reason. That is a purposeful, deliberate action on your part. It is not something that just naturally takes place. You can't just come to church or become a Christian and it just naturally happens. It is a deliberate, willful action on your part. And it takes a purposeful action on your part to do that. Psalm 119 is the longest chapter in the entire Bible. And it focuses on God's Word. And it talks a lot about meditating. Meditate. Verse 15, "I will meditate on your precepts and regard your ways." Verse 48, "I will meditate on your statutes." Verse 97, "Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day." That means when I get a chance, when my mind is free to do certain things, I am going to meditate on your law. "My eyes anticipate the night watches that I may meditate on your word." He says it over and over again. He's talking about willfully, purposefully setting your thought and your mind and meditating on God's Word. It is a precursor of understanding the Scriptures. Just like a while ago I talked about, you know, you go from thinking and meditating on Scripture to understanding Scripture. Psalm 49, verse 3, "My mouth will speak wisdom, and the meditation of my heart will be understanding." Psalm 119:99, "I have more insight than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation." Meditating on the Scriptures brings us closer to God. "How sweet are your words to my taste, yes, sweeter than honey to my mouth. For your precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way." Now, how should we meditate on Scripture? Does it just happen? Do we just get quiet, sit there, think about it, and it just automatically happen? We begin by committing yourself to make meditation part of your lifestyle. Like we said before, when you set your mind on things above, you willfully take time and you focus your thoughts. Select a specific text or a topic. You don't have to have a large section of scripture that you focus on. Study the text you've chosen. Learn the text good enough to carry it with you. You might try memorizing. I remember when I was in school, they would give us a text just about every day that we would have to memorize. And they would tell us, that seems impossible, doesn't it? And we were like, yeah, it does seem impossible. And they would say, that's right, it does. Now get with it and get it done by tomorrow. And we were like, you've got to be kidding. And you know what? This really, the first time they told me this, this just really upset me to no end. You would have to declare the translation you were memorizing it by. And get this, they counted off for punctuation. That's like Jeopardy. You ever watch that? And Alex Trebek will count off if you don't say it right. And I'll be sitting there in my chair, oh, come on, Alex. Come on. You know, and I'll play it back because I'm listening and I can't hear. I'm deaf. Y'all know I'm deaf. And I'll play it back just a couple times and it's like, he said it that way. And Alex Trebek is getting all over him for not saying it that way. And I could have sworn they said it that way. And they may drop the S or something. And they counted off for punctuation. Learn the text good enough to carry it around with you. And I'll guarantee you, you know, don't be upset over the punctuation. I don't think anybody's going to count off for punctuation. Interrogate the selected text. Ask yourself, why is it there? And this drives me crazy. Bobby, we'll just be sitting there doing nothing, and she'll read me a passage, and she will say, what does that mean? Just out of the blue. Why do you do that? I don't have a commentary near me. What does that mean? How does it apply to life? And I mean, I don't know. Used to, I had all the answers, and now I don't even know the questions anymore. Give me some time to study it. How does it apply to life? Meditation gives one the ability to practice what they know. And we talked about this a while ago, Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. So that you may be careful to do according to all that's written. And the last phrase, so that you will have success. Now, we're not preaching Old Testament, but the principle applies for God's people, so that you will have success. Meditation is fundamental spiritual success and growth. He talks about day and night. You ever look at lyrics to some of the modern songs? I do sometimes, and I think, what in the world was the songwriter? What did they mean when they wrote that song? And some of the songwriters just said, I remember Floyd Axton, you know, when he wrote the song, Jeremiah was a bullfrog. He was a good friend of mine. And I heard a young aspiring songwriter ask Floyd Axton one time, Floyd, what were you thinking when you wrote Jeremiah was a bullfrog? And he said, son, you got to understand, back in the 70s, we did a lot of drugs. He didn't mean nothing. But you know, there was other songs that they did mean something. You remember the song that Glenn Campbell sang a lot? You know what? That sticks out on the side, doesn't it? Anyway, he wrote Gentle on My Mind. And in later years, wherever he was playing Gentle on My Mind, he would mention that city and he would say, Branson, you're gentle on my mind. Sioux Falls, you're gentle on my mind. And the point is, that particular passage becomes gentle on your mind because you meditate on it. And it means something to you. And you have a spiritual connection to that particular verse, and it becomes gentle on your mind. That's what we're talking about. And It's important because you have a relationship with the Lord. Day by day, what do you think about? Do you think about Black Blues and Barbecue? You know what? I did a couple days before it, and I went up there, and you know what? It's a waste of time. It was a waste of time. I enjoyed the ride up there, and I enjoyed the ride back. You know why? Because I got to see the beautiful creation that God gave us. That was what mattered. And I meditated on Scripture on the way up and the way back. And while I was up there, you know what I saw? A lot of noise. I breathed a lot of exhaust fumes. But it was the trip up and the trip back that I enjoyed, because the leaves were starting to change. There was hills and mountains and God's creation and nature. And I came back old 71 and I saw some nature and things that I enjoyed. And that's what was all about. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things of this earth. Because you know why? They're temporary. They're passing away. They're fleeting. Meditate on the right things. And it doesn't have to be large passages of Scripture. And this morning I'm speaking mainly to a Christian audience, and that's what this lesson's been all about, because it's about thinking about God's Word. He has given us a gift beyond description. He's given us Jesus. He's given us His Word. He's given us direction. And He's given us eternal life. Jesus said, I'm going to go and I'm going to prepare a place for you. And He says, I'm going to come back and I'm going to take you and you're going to be with me and we're going to be together throughout eternity. You know, that's something to look forward to. We just need to hang on. And we have a promise beyond imagination. This morning, if you need to respond to the invitation, the lesson's yours.